Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My apologies to the Thursday morning Bible study group. There were two brothers. They were evil men. They were rich men. They owned almost everything in the town, including the main factory that employed over 50% of the people in the town. And they used people, all for their good, to make as much money as they possibly could make. They wouldn't hesitate to fire somebody. They had horrible working conditions they provided for their employees. Their main goal was to get as much money as they possibly could. And they were good at it. The older brother died. The younger brother went to the local Catholic church and asked the priest if he would do the service, and he agreed. And he said, "If you proclaim my brother to be a saint, I will donate $1 million to your church." That's not an easy thing within a Roman Catholic community, because that's not a term that's just tossed around willy-nilly. Saints are taken very seriously. So the priest prayed, the priest thought, the priest knew they could really use the money. And so the day of the funeral came, and the priest began to list out all of the nastiness that the older brother had committed over the years, and talked about his need to atone for those sins that he committed against humanity. And then he paused. And he said, "But when you compare him to his younger brother, he was quite the saint." Today is the day we designate as All Saints Sunday, a day where we remember the people who have come into our lives and blessed us, and sometimes remembering the people who have come out of our lives. Now, I never really understood this, so I'm going to share it with you, because I figure if I don't understand it, there's at least three of you out there that don't understand that. And this is the process of becoming a saint in the Roman Catholic Church. First, the person's local bishop investigates their life by gathering information from witnesses of their life and any writings that may be written. If the bishop finds them to be worthy to be a saint, he submits the information he gathered to the Vatican's Congregation for the Causes of Saints. That's step one. Step two, the Congregation for the Causes of Saints can choose or reject the application or accept it and begin their own investigation of the person's life. If the application is accepted, that person then is called a servant of God. Step three. If the Congregation of Causes of Saints approves of the candidate, they can choose to declare that the person lived a heroically virtuous life. I didn't write this, so that doesn't even make sense. Lived a heroically virtuous life. This isn't a declaration that the person is in heaven, but that they pursued holiness while here on earth. If indeed it is found to be the case, the person then is called venerable. Step four. To be recognized as somebody in heaven requires that a miracle has taken place through the intercession of that person. The miracle is usually healing. The healing has to be instantaneous, permanent, and complete, while also being scientifically unexplainable. Miracles have to be first verified as scientifically unexplainable by a group of independent doctors. Then the person is approved by a panel of theologians, and then the final approval lies with the Pope. If this is the case, a person is declared a blessed. A second miracle is needed. This is the last step, in order to declare someone to be a saint. The confirmation of the second miracle goes through the same scrutiny as the first. The five-step process is a general outline for how someone becomes a saint. There are definitely exceptions to this process and situations that may change the process as well. And so in the Roman Catholic Church, that's how you become a saint. It's a lot of work. But you're already dead, so you don't care. Life is about definition. The priest defined a saint as one thing. The The Catholic Church defines a saint as another thing. Martin Luther has a whole different definition there. But when we talk about defining things, we all have this kind of independent thought process that takes place in terms of what we define things to be. I'll give you an example. The best college. I bet you all have an idea of what you might think the best college would be, and for a lot of you, it might have been the college you attended. But that's all by individual definition. The best car, the best house, the best church, well, that goes without saying, so we won't even talk about that. But how we define things really is based on our life experience. And it's very individual. Martin Luther liked to redefine things. That was one of his big things as part of the Reformation, because when you're redefining things, you're kind of reforming the ideas of what has taken place. The Roman Catholic Church has 7 sacraments. The Lutheran Church has 2. Now, it wasn't that Luther decided he was going to throw out those other sacraments. It was that he redefined what a sacrament was, or what it took for something to be considered sacramental. And so with his definition, it was broken down to holy baptism and holy communion. And it was in baptism that Luther redefined saint. You see, for Luther, saint is a gift from God. Saint takes place when that water hits your head and somebody declares to you, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is at that moment within Lutheran theology and thought that you become a saint. Now, many of you know many people here. Would you consider them saints? Now, here's where the difference comes in. Saint is a gift that God gives us as being one of God's children, acting saintly. There's the rub. Flynn is taking on promises made on her behalf. As a child of God, she's taking these promises on and making them her very own. As she is declaring her acknowledgement of her sainthood, now she's going to begin to act incredibly saintly. Aren't you? She said, okay. But you see, the gift that Flynn is celebrating today is a gift we all have, and it's a gift that we need to understand as who we are as individuals within the body of Christ. We are saints. We are children of God. But it's our job. It's our task. It's our responsibility to act saintly. Because as Flynn grew up, there were many of you that she saw and used as examples of people of faith within her life. Are there not? Yes. The answer is always yes. Yeah, there you go. I don't want to throw you off or make you feel like you're on the spot. But the reality is, for each of us, we have people within our lives that we have looked to for our faith formation. People who have led us and guided us. People who have made us the people we are today. Because of them being saints within our lives. And because of them acting saintly. And acting as faithful followers of Christ. But the problem is when people look to us. Because how saintly do you feel? Do you feel like you could proclaim yourself to be a saint, that you live the life of a saint, that you conduct yourself in the manner of a child of God, that the world can know, looking at you through what you say and through what you do, each and every moment of your life, that you truly are a saint? I can't. I've been accused of being the exact opposite of a saint sometimes when I'm in a car and somebody cuts me off. God has made us His children. Through the waters of baptism, we've been drawn together into the body of Christ, proclaimed saints, proclaimed to be children of God, asked to live our lives in a manner keeping with such an honor. And so the struggle continues moment by moment, day by day, that we do what we can to truly give honor to that gift that God has blessed us with, to live our lives as saintly saints, to live our lives as those who carry on the blessings that God has placed within us, to live our lives in a manner that people will look at us and know that there is a child of God. Amen.